Christ of the depths. Not deaths, but depths, like deep. Do you remember the legend of the touchstone? It's a great story to recall on Easter morning. According to the ancient legend, if you could somehow find the touchstone on the coast of the Black Sea and hold it in your hand, everything that you touched after that would turn to gold. You could recognize the touchstone by its warmth when you picked it up. Other stones would feel cold, but when you picked up the touchstone, it would turn warm quickly in your hand. Once a man sold everything that he had and went to the coast of the Black Sea in search of that touchstone, he began immediately to walk along the shoreline and to pick up one stone after another in his diligent and intentional search for that touchstone. He was consumed with his dream. He wanted desperately to find this miraculous stone. However, after several days had passed, suddenly he realized that he was picking up some of the same stones again and again there on the beach. So he devised a plan. Pick up a stone. If it's cold, toss it out into the sea. And he did it for weeks and weeks. Then one morning, he went out to continue his search. He picked up a stone. It was cold, so he threw it into the sea. He picked up another stone, cold, threw it into the sea, and he picked up another one. It quickly turned warm in his hand, but before he realized what he was doing, he threw it into the sea. Maybe that's a good parable for Easter, because it's easy to let that happen to us. We can come upon a miraculous moment like Easter. We can feel it turn warm in our hands, but then so dulled by the routine around us, before we realize what we're doing, we've thrown it away or let it pass unnoticed, which may be even worse. Absent-mindedly, mechanically maybe, even habitually, we toss it aside and maybe we miss the miracle of Easter. Martin Luther once spent 3 days in a dark depression over something that had gone wrong. On the third day of his depression, his wife came downstairs dressed in her clothes for mourning. "Who's dead?" he asked her. "God," she said. Luther rebuked her, saying, "What do you mean God is dead? God cannot die." "Well," she said, "the way you've been acting the last 3 days, I was pretty sure that he had." Many of us can be caught in that kind of trap. That's also what happened to Mary in the text that we read. She was blinded by Jesus' presence. She was blinded by her grief. So discouraged and depressed that she didn't even recognize Jesus. She was wearing a long face because someone had died, and she did not understand that he was right there with her. She didn't recognize him when he showed up. She thought he was the gardener. At that moment, the word resurrection was not even in her vocabulary. She was throwing all the touchstones back, rejecting them. It was in the spring of 1981, the president of a national hotel chain was speaking at a conference in Atlanta. And while he was there, he decided he needed a haircut. So while he was sitting in the chair of the neighborhood barber, he struck up a conversation. "What are you doing for vacation this summer?" The barber's face brightened up. "My wife and I are taking a long road trip. We're driving to Phoenix." "Really?" the hotel president asked. "And where are you going to stay while you're on this road trip?" The barber said, "Well, on the way out there, we're going to stay at the cheapest places we can find so that when we get there, we can afford to stay somewhere really nice. The hotel president thought to himself, this guy's never going to stay in my hotel because when he's driving to Phoenix, we are too expensive. And when he gets to Phoenix, we're not expensive enough. So he immediately flew back to his office and called his board of directors together and said, one size does not fit all. We need to diversify to meet the needs of all of our people. And the result was a company that began to offer four different levels of hotels. The Sleep Inn, the Comfort Inn, the Quality Inn, and the Clarion. The name of the company is Choice Hotels. You see, they give the customer the choice of what level of care and pampering they want to receive. We're like that too sometimes. We're here today for various different reasons. Who knows? You know for yourself. But you don't know for everybody else, and neither do I. Some of you are here because you're curious. Some of you are here because you've worshipped on Easter every Sunday, every year on the Easter Sunday, and you just can't imagine being anyplace else. One size does not fit all. But the story of Easter is such a gripping story that it ultimately meets the needs of every person in every place, no matter what your past is like. For what it's worth, and whatever your reasons, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you came to worship. Because yes, there is hope. There is hope for you. There's hope in your world. In the early part of World War II, a Navy submarine was stuck on the bottom of the harbor in New York City. It was dead. It seemed that all was lost. There was no electricity, and the oxygen level was quickly depleting. In one last attempt to rescue the sailors that were still on board from that steel coffin, the U.S. Navy sent a ship equipped with Navy divers to go to the spot on the surface and then to dive down directly toward the wounded submarine. A Navy diver went down the side of the ship to the rather dangerous depths in one last rescue attempt. The trapped sailors heard the metal boots of the diver land on the upper shell, and they moved to where they thought the rescuer might be. In the darkness, they tapped out in Morse code, "Is there hope?" The diver on the outside, recognizing the message signaled by tapping on the outside of the sub, "Yes, hope." This is a picture of our dilemma as a people of faith and as a people of nation and a people of the world. It's the nature of our dilemma. We all wonder if there is hope. Is there enough hope? Is there enough to go around? We hear things about Christians being singled out in Kenya, or when we hear things about wars in foreign lands or terrorist attacks even. When we hear things of tragedies and we know that God didn't plan it that way, we have to realize that, yes, there is hope, but those things sometimes make us question, don't they? But we're all kind of in that situation, the same as the people on that sub. Daily news cries out the very need for redemption that we see and feel around us. We believe we're low on hope, and we are looking for a word from beyond, from outside the ship, that offers us that hope. This is a world which is plagued with war and famine, mounting debt and continual destruction. The more we try to rescue ourselves, the more we seem to fall behind. And we wonder, is there any hope? Our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Some of you probably saw my Facebook posts yesterday about the underwater statue called the Christ of the Abyss. So I'd like for you to dig out your phones and go to my Facebook page right now and take a look at those pictures. Since we don't have any other ways to show pictures in the sanctuary yet, I'd like to suggest that if you can pull that picture up, you show it to other people on your row. It's the picture of Christ of the Abyss. Now, while you're looking for it, I'm friends with a lot of you, but my page is open so anyone can see it. And later on, if we're not friends, then you make a request and I'll accept it. So, let me explain. In the port of Genoa, Italy, there is a statue called the Christ of the Deep. It is in the form of those classic structures of Jesus, those statues with his arms outstretched and looking up as if to say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The statue is placed beneath the surface of the water, deep in the harbor, descended into the depths. And it's a memorial. It's intended to be a memorial to all those who died at sea. But it's also a wonderful symbol to the living of the gospel message that has gone, of Christ who has gone to the depths to give us all the gift of new life. The statue is not huge. It's about 30 feet deep and maybe about 9 or 10 feet tall. But the pictures, some of the pictures you can see of it, I hope to see it in person someday, but some of the pictures show the light glistening in through the water, the rippling of the water, and the lights kind of flickering, and Jesus is standing there. You can see the light on his face and on his hands as he is lifting up. There's also one of those. It's exactly the same statue made from the same mold in Key Largo, Florida. That one might be a little easier to get to if you have the chance. And if you like snorkeling, there's a lot of really colorful stuff down in there in the Keys of Florida. I've not gotten to do that. I've just seen the pictures. But that statue seems to have a lot more light down in there and a lot more color around it. The statue was, the one in Italy, was placed in 1954. And since then, it's had to be reconditioned once because it gets a lot of seaweed and algae. You can still see the face and the features of Christ. But even on one occasion, a ship anchor got tangled up in it and broke one of Jesus' hands off. So they fixed it. They rebuilt it and made it beautiful again so that it can stand for another generation or more and teach people that Christ has come not just to us, but to the depths of the earth for us. As we celebrate that, I think it represents Christ's journey from heaven above to the earth to make God more knowable. That's what we celebrate in Christ, in the incarnation of God through Jesus Christ, to make God more knowable, more visible to humankind. We have part of the Apostles' Creed, which we often leave out, that says, "He descended to the dead." It's a sure reminder that Christ is among us and that God in human form has made a way to be known to humankind. I think it's a brilliant symbol of incarnation, of God in human form, right there under the waves in the shimmering light and surrounded by lively sea creatures. But it's also a sign of resurrection hope, for Jesus' hands are lifted and he is looking up. It's a sign that not only a majestic creator worthy of our humble praise God is, but also a God who comes to the depths in human form and points the way to resurrection hope. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark. But the darkness was soon overcome with light. Maybe that's the message that you need to hear for today. That the light wins over the darkness. Whatever reason there may be, it could be that you're in the depths right now. That you are underwater and need to breathe. Maybe it's family concerns or problems at work. Maybe it's someone you love is deeply sick and needs to recover. Maybe you're anxious about your own health or your future or the loss, grieving someone you love. Easter promises us more than just summers of light in our darkness. Easter promises us that in the midst of our darkness, that Christ the Son rises to overwhelm the darkness forever. I can recall a geography lesson from elementary school in which we learned that the southern point of Africa is a point which for centuries has experienced great storms. For many years, no one even knew what lay beyond that cape. For no ship that attempted to round that point had ever returned to tell the tale. Among the ancients, it was known as the Cape of Storms, and for good reason. But a Portuguese explorer in the 16th century, Vasco da Gama, successfully sailed around that very point and found beyond the wild raging storms a great calm sea. And beyond that, the shores of India. And the name of that cape was changed from the Cape of Storms to the Cape of Good Hope. Until Jesus Christ came to show us all how to live, death had wrecked us. Death had become the Cape of Storms on which all hopes of life had been wrecked. No one knew what lay beyond that point until on Easter morning. Those ancient visions of Isaiah became the victory of Jesus over our last great enemy. And suddenly, like those ancient explorers, we can see beyond the Cape of Storms to the hope of heaven and to eternal life with the Father. More than that, we dare to believe that we shall experience resurrection in our own human lives. For the risen Christ, the Holy One, says to us, "Because I live, you shall live also." This is the heart of the Easter faith. Thanks be to God.